When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW After Show, and have we got a show for you. Bryan Danielson's going to All In, Darby Allin returns, and Mariah May has beaten and bloodied Toni Storm. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Hacksaw George Hermosa and the future Hall of Famer, Jimmy Corderas. Jimmy, good to see you on a Wednesday.
It's good to be here on a Wednesday. I'm just hanging out. You know, I found these, you know, recently I found a lot of these old laminates that I had from trying to figure out what this one was for.
Is that Liv Morgan's key? From Toronto?
Never mind. Hold on.
Good,
she's not here. She's not here.
We know what happened now. Always good to see you, Jimmy. George, you're preoccupied.
So that's the origins of the ho. Yeah.
Liv good Morgan. To know.
Oh, what?
Are you talking Godfather?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Oh wow, what a crazy Iron Sheik story from the 80s.
You know, George, if you're not going to get paid residuals for selling these books, then we might need to take them off the show. We got sponsors to worry about here.
Yes, we do. I'm just the reader. I want to encourage everybody to pick up a book here and there and read a couple pages per day.
Speaking of sponsors, that's a pretty cool Eugene statue you have behind there. He had a great interview on the Wrestling Chatter. In any case, I want to make sure we give a shout out to everyone who's coming through. Always good to see you, Jonathan Torres, Adonde, and Tommy O, and Stephen Camp, Beer Money, and shout out Killer of Demons. I know you got a big procedure coming up, so we're all thinking of you. We got some news that went down today that we got to talk about, stuff that happened, and a lot of stuff kind of took over Twitter, if you're on there, X, if you're a youth. Stephanie Vacker, she signed a contract with WWE. Jimmy, this one, you know, it started off as kind of mysterious. She was pulling out of her other commitments to New Japan and CMLL, suddenly dropping titles. We didn't know what was going on. We knew she'd been having talks. Then the news dropped. I found out because Shawn Michaels told me, not personally, he tweeted it or he X'd it, but Shawn Michaels told me directly, that she had signed and she will be in Orlando in NXT. This is a big signing. This was huge. Obviously fans of AEW saw her at Forbidden Door. And I think that this was great.
I absolutely think it is great because like you said, everybody saw her at Forbidden Door and those not familiar with her became familiar with her very quickly because she was a standout at that pay-per-view. And she showed that she has the goods. Now, under that umbrella that she's going to be under and the NXT umbrella training under Shawn Michaels and all the coaches down there. I think this is going to be really, really groundbreaking for the women's division. She's going to shock a lot of people that are WWE fans that are not familiar with her. You're going to wait till you see, that's all I can say. Wait till you see what this is. And this NXT brand overall is becoming something really special, especially with the open door that they've got going on with TNA. A lot of good things going on, and I'm expecting big things from Stephanie.
Yeah, George, I want to take an AEW-sided approach to this, and I just want to talk about – I want to give some flowers here. And I think AEW, when they started, I think one of the great things about this is that they provided so many more opportunities for wrestlers, and they still do, and they have. And this is a perfect example of that. I think you look at – this is an opportunity. She was seen by a lot of Americans here on Forbidden Door. Forbidden Door is a show that sometimes we give a lot of flack to because of what it is, but this gave her a platform on in America that let her stand out. And I personally just fail to believe that it's a coincidence that right after that show, WWE suddenly said, we're going to offer you get out of your contract money to come join us right this minute. I think this was great for, and I think the end result is great for everyone. I think it's great for her. She signed with the biggest wrestling company in the world. I think it's great for WWE because now they have an incredible talent. I think it's great for the fans because now they get to see her if you weren't familiar with her before. And as far as AEW goes, I don't think it's a loss because they never had her. So I know some people say this is a loss to AEW. It'd be great if they got her, but I don't think it's a loss because they never had her. I think this is just a win in every direction, George.
I want to add on to everything that you just said because it's a win-win for everybody because now it's going to kind of come across as like a who does AEW have that might be the next big signing, even if they're not in there for a long time. We saw the same thing with Nathan Frazier. He had maybe one or two matches in AEW, and then like a week later he signed with WWE after having such a strong showing just in like one or two matches in AEW. No different for Stephanie Vaquer. For the record, I called us like about a couple weeks ago. But my thing is, I mean, you're absolutely right. It is coincidental how all of a sudden she's getting all this attention, right after the Forbidden Door. But I was very impressed, and I mentioned it here, by that very first vignette that we saw on AEW TV, and it serves the same today. And it made me want even more. Like, you know, they announced her, and then all of a sudden, like I said, everything that we wanted to see in AEW, the video packages, not just random, like, oh, by the way, next week on Rampage, we're going to see so-and-so defend the belt against Stephanie Vaquer, who was a CMLL champion. Like, that's what we didn't want. We got what we want, and now she came across as a bigger star. The thing that's shocking to me the most, because I've been saying it, that it wouldn't surprise me if she's WWE by the end of the year. I'm surprised that it happened now. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, like, she was just on AEW. Was it like the semi-main event or the semi-main event on Forbidden Door, which in my opinion is kind of a big deal. But yeah, it's surprised so soon. And there's rumors out there on Twitter that I won't get into because I know nothing about it. So yeah, there is a little bit of that. We were kind of it was kind of mentioned to us in the little group chat that we're in before the show that like maybe the story is why so soon, but either way, it's a great get. It's a fantastic get. Not only is she a great talent, she's kind of got that South American representation that WWE hasn't really had really ever. We've seen a great Mexican presence, a great Puerto Rican presence, a great Cuban presence. We don't really had anybody south of the border. Nobody from Colombia, nobody from Argentina, nobody from Peru. That would have been me. But being from Chile and also not just is she from Chile, but she's got a great, you know, history with CMLL. I just realized about an hour ago that isn't WWE in Mexico this weekend? I think they got live shows in Monterrey, Mexico this weekend. And yeah. I can only assume that that's maybe they're going to formally introduce her to the WWE universe.
Yeah, Beer Money in the chat, that's an interesting point, maybe. But Beer Money says, if she didn't do Forbidden Door, I'm guessing WWE never would have wanted her. I'm not saying that. I think that they were probably scouting her. But I think what I love about AEW and there being two options is I think seeing her on that stage against Mercedes Moné said, hey, this is a very sought after free agent. You better move it or lose it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure her offer was a lot better than it would have been had there been no other person in no other company in America. And Jimmy, that's where I think this was so helpful, being that there was that platform there.
It absolutely was. And, you know, people who think that they're not paying attention to what's going on with the other guys. Yes, they're focusing on their own brand, but yes, they are keeping an eye on what's going on. And I'm sure she was on their radar, but they got an opportunity to see her live and in living color at the pay-per-view. And somebody must have said to someone important, hey, we got to snag this girl right now because she's got it and she needs to be here right now. And before it's too late, let's sign her. So they went ahead and did it. That's my belief.
I said a couple weeks ago, it wouldn't surprise me if she's WWE by the end of the year. If I'm saying that, you're better sure that there's people out in Orlando and Stanford saying that as well. But I think if anything, they probably wanted her then and there. They're not going to snatch her as like before Forbidden Door. But at the same time, she did have a match scheduled up this weekend that she had to withdraw from. But with that said, I do want to end. I mean, you feel free to end it at any point. But I do want my last thing that I want to say about this is once Julianne and Stephanie Vaquer show up in NXT, I honestly think that once they show up and start wrecking havoc, that's going to be not just the best women's division of all of pro wrestling, but I flat out think that's probably going to be the best women's division that pro wrestling has ever had.
Wow. It very well could be. NXT has always been so.
It's great now. It's like, it's the best. Yeah. It's the best division, women's division right now. Enter those two ladies. Jesus Christ, bro.
Sign me up.
I don't want to spill too many beans for the NXT after show. I want to save that for next week for them. But Flobo Boyce in the chat, long time, kind of sick fan of the show, says Monet the Star Maker. I do want to give Mercedes her flowers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this a little bit more later on, of course, as well. We talked about her segment, but I also think seeing her in a match, Stephanie in this case, in a match against somebody, as Flobo mentions in another comment as well, I can't see where it is right now, though, against someone who main evented WrestleMania and stood toe-to-toe with her and looked good. This wasn't just her having a match with some local talent in a dark match. This was a big stage against a big opponent, and she came out looking like a star. Again, I think you got to give credit to Mercedes for being someone that can help elevate in that case. Now, I don't know if that was Mercedes' intention in this case, but guess what? It happened. So I think you got to give credit to a lot of people here. Mm-hmm. The story is going to be for NXT and the NXT after show when they talk about all of it. But since this is the AEW show, I'm trying to approach it from the AEW side. And
I do want to add on to one more thing to what you said, because the same thing happened for Willow. Like Willow was kind of, I mean, we all love Willow, but it wasn't until she faced Mercedes last year in that tournament where after that, Willow's star really started to rise after, again, facing Mercedes in that match. Look what happened to Kyrie. Kyrie, after a match with Mercedes, got snatched up by WWE.
Yep. So again, for all the people, because you do see it a lot, the tribalism of, I hope this company burns, I hope this company goes down. It's great having these two two companies for so many reasons, and this is one of them. I truly believe, because this is another person, fans, and everybody involved. It's good. It's a win all around.
Yeah, I have the matches. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Please. Yeah. Oh, they're going to come at me now. Yeah. They come at me anyway. So what's the difference? Who cares?
Yeah. You're not going to shake them, Jimmy. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but Paul, by the way, asks, sup Jack, any news on Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley? I have not heard anything official any one way or the other. I've heard lots of rumor and innuendo, but nothing that I'm going to report, because nothing that I feel confident is perfect. Accurate. Something that we do know is accurate is that there is a bigger crossover event happening than the Forbidden Door, bigger than Wrestle Dynasty, bigger than NXT and A going on, the biggest possible wrestling crossover that's ever happened, and even beyond the invasion of WCW and WWF at the time. AEW stars will do battle with Adult Swim characters at San Diego Comic-Con. Talking to X earlier this afternoon, Adult Swim announced that AEW would be part of the station's Comic-Con experience on July 25th, with the two sides engaging in special AEW versus Adult Swim Battle of the Booty event that night, 7:30, July 25th. George, we've had major invasions. This has got to be the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. Anytime we see any kind of wrestling outside of that wrestling bubble, it's always going to be pretty cool. And San Diego Comic-Con, I don't know if you know this, but it's a really, really big deal. There's Comic-Cons all over the country, but I mean, San Diego that's the actual Comic-Con that, you know, everybody kind of makes plans to go to. So that, and the fact that they're doing this thing with Adult Swim, that's, again, it can only mean good things for AEW and the people that are involved in there. Orange Cassidy, Willow Nightingale, Johnny TV, and Taya. yeah, and I'm sure it's going to be fun for everyone.
Yeah, Jimmy, I don't know how much NFL you watch or keep up with, but Nickelodeon has started doing some crossovers with NFL games. And at first, a lot of people scoffed and made fun, and I'm kind of poking fun a little bit here about the crossover and the magnitude of it, but very popular, these crossovers. And I think that this is a great way. You know, we talk about trying to find new fans. I think this is a fantastic way of doing that, to spread their brand beyond just the people who are watching.
Yeah, you have to think outside the box sometimes and stop thinking wrestling bubble. We have to cater to the wrestling fans. The San Diego Comic-Con, as you guys very well know, is a huge deal. It's one of the biggest Comic-Cons, if not the biggest out there. And doing a cross-promotion with them, now you're going to bring different eyes to your product. And a lot of those fans are probably aware of professional wrestling, but they may not be aware of the AEW brand. Now here's a chance for them to connect with some of the superstars from AEW and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I've heard of these guys. Let me check them out. It's a perfect plan. It's a, you know, you have to do these things. You have to do these cross promotions outside of the wrestling audience and stop catering to just that audience. And this is a great, great step to doing that.
Burner account wondering if we're going to see the Elite versus the Squidbillies. Now, that's what a lot of people have been waiting to see. That's what they want to know. Who's going to come out on top, the Elite or the Squidbillies? This is fun. I'm sure we're going to get some very good social media content out of this. I think it's going to be great, especially if you have guys like Orange Cassidy, I think are going to plug right into that Adult Swim crowd. And there's a number of people in AEW who I think will that crowd will love them.
Is that the Beverly Squidbillies?
Is that show still on? The Squidbillies? I don't even know. But Dylan says Squidbillies are best for business. Beer Money says Rick and Morty could travel through the Forbidden Door. Rick and Morty's a fun show. That's one I know. Let's talk about some stuff that's not so fun. Let's talk about injury updates that we have. It looks like Eddie Kingston recently had surgery. Riho suffered an untimely injury on Collision. And Maria Kanellis has revealed that she has found a mass on an adrenal gland. George, injuries never fun, but it sounds like everyone is taking care of them, working to take care of them. Obviously, best thoughts on with all of these performers.
Yeah, especially with Riho, because that happened on Collision against Lady Frost, and it happened in the middle of the match, and she powered through. I don't know how, but she did. I mean, I guess it's just that wrestler mentality. But yeah, especially for Maria as well, who they found something, and it looks like it was early enough for it not to be serious. And then you have Eddie Kingston, who looks like he's going to be gone for a good 6 to 9 months, which is never a good thing, but at least it's the road to recovery, right? It's not the road to just, oh, okay, my career is over. It's literally the road to recovery, and I can only assume that they're going to be back better than ever.
Jimmy, it's actually good that, I don't want to say it's good that someone's getting surgery, but it does kind of remind you of the old days of where people just powered through things until they were forced to retire. And right. So it is kind of good that we live in a time now where people are getting the medical attention they need.
Absolutely. And it's the companies themselves, but all the companies are across the board that are telling these guys, look, if you're hurt and you feel like you can't, stay down. They're trying to tell them, they're trying to convince them that. Of course, it's hard for them to get that old school mentality out of their heads where, okay, I'm dinged up, but I can fight through this. I could truck on through, as The Rock would say. But, you got to think of your future. You got to think of your career going forward. And a lot of times when you get dinged up, you think, oh, maybe it's not so bad. And then you find out you do have a fracture. You do have a torn something or other. And you can get injured doing the most minute thing in the ring. The smallest thing can get you injured. So you always have to be aware of that. And as far as Maria Kanellis, who I know very well, God bless. I hope she's all right. And like you said, George, glad they caught it early. But, everybody take care of everybody, and glad that they have doctors at ringside, medical practitioners there and ready to go in case something is needed. So good for the business all around for looking after talent in that regard.
Yeah, Dylan Matthews in the chat says, I tore my ACL and MCL and didn't feel it. So take that, Cody Rhodes, with your torn pec.
I felt mine.
Mm-hmm. I felt a few tears.
Dylan says, I tore my ACL and MCL getting up to put a coffee cup in the dishwasher. Agreed, Jimmy. Ooh. Yeah, it's funny. I don't know how old Dylan is. I believe he's a young, spry gentleman. But I know you reach a certain age, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it happens to all of us where getting off a step stool gets a little like, I got to be careful. I don't want to twist.
Have you tried sneezing?
Present.
Have you tried sneezing? Sneezing? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Dylan, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't know if I would have put that out there.
That is true. You know, you could have actually said anything. You could have said, Dylan, I
slipped him some water on the way to the dishwasher and tore everything.
Dylan, be fair, you could have said, Dylan, like, I was in the running of the bulls and, you know.
The bull won.
I was only able to take one bull down with me before his friend got me.
And then I put the bull over.
Right. No, but hopefully you're feeling better, Dylan, from all that. That's a tough, tough one. Dylan says, I think my story is great. Let's talk a little bit about this Dynamite. Before we do, I want to give a shout out to I Am Air. We got Jose, JR, KOD, Beer, Money, Steven, Camp, Laura, Tommy O, Jonathan Torres, Adonde, Baxter, Sherrod, Flobo Boys, Bobby, Gary, Carlos, Justin, lots of folks. Dylan Matthews, by the way, with a huge comment, says from top to bottom, best Dynamite in a good while. Now, Dylan is typically a critic of AEW, so that comes with some weight. I mean, I say it all the time, so it doesn't come with as much weight, but Dylan saying it, that means something to me. But we got Joe C lurking and Burner Account stalking you. George, how do I pronounce his name? You always tell me how I'm supposed to say him.
Mariah. Faiz Daniel.
I
don't know.
Okay.
Sounds right.
In any case, I'm glad you're here. Sorry for getting the name wrong. But Brandon Nally, Made by Don, Tony, Kaname, Karan, and Jerry Brown. Lots of folks here. Sorry if I missed you. Jay Willie in the chat. Don't want to forget you. Lots of folks here. Ethan Cruz as well. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. podcast. And do you remember those old WWF ice cream bars? Those ones that were heroes on those piping hot summer days? What if you could get the taste of that neighborhood ice cream truck and great hydration at the same time? Well, now you can. Liquid IV has refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet. Plus, you can make your own Liquid IV in popsicle form. Liquid IV has an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. It's got 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink and 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to a show or revitalize yourself after cheering all night at SummerSlam. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you go to shop better hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Let's talk about this AEW. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I agree with Dylan. This one was, they knocked this one out of the park. And we started, don't shake your head.
No, I would just say, if you guys thought tonight was one of the best, what did you guys think of last week? Because I thought last week was phenomenal. I thought last week was a phenomenal episode. So if you guys thought that this was the best, tell me what you thought of last week, because I thought it was even better.
I'm sorry, George, but AJ Styles has a monopoly on the word phenomenal, so you can't use that word.
And France, apparently.
That's true.
Okay, what did I miss here about the France thing?
Oh, just they love him. They love AJ in France. Oh,
Oh,
it's like they got a, like a chant that like incorporates it with the word phenomenal that they go crazy for.
I think it has something to do. Does it have something to do with their soccer chanting and all that kind of stuff?
Probably. It's the same kind of thing. Yeah. But
they call it football over there.
It's so... I learned that when I was in Poland. Trust me, I got heat. They wouldn't give me any pierogies.
We got an opening segment here with Will Ospreay, and Brov says he's what AEW is all about. MJF on the video screen, because I can't call it a Titantron. What do we call it in AEW?
The Elitron.
No, we can't call it that. But the MJF says that next week he's going to punch Ospreay until he sees stars. Jimmy, I want your take on this promo. Ospreay sat in the corner talking. MJF's retort and everything else, just overall thoughts. I won't lead into it too much.
Okay. I was okay with Will Ospreay's promo. There were certain parts of it that I wasn't a fan of. I didn't like the fact that he was talking seriously about the MJF situation and Daniel Garcia. And then the crowd chanted something, started chuckling and laughing right in the middle of it. I didn't like that. If you're in a serious moment, you stay in that serious moment. You don't have to laugh. And then when MJF came on the screen, MJF did a great job. You know, that whole cocky attitude, sitting back in his chair, sipping his glass of, adult grape juice, I guess it was. He's doing everything he can to be that monster heel that they need over there, someone to boo. Because when he came back, everybody cheered him. Of course they're going to cheer him. But they've got some great baby faces right now. Swerve is over huge. Will is over huge. There are a lot of guys that are real baby faces that people like Bryan Danielson, you know, that sort of thing. They need someone to be that guy that they universally hate. He's being such an, you know what, that he's doing a great job of getting them to boo him. But then while he's blasting him in that cocky attitude on screen, Will is turning his back and not even looking at him and kind of, I didn't like that. You know, he's addressing you, you stare at him. If somebody's addressing me, I'm going to look you in the eye, even though it was on the Tron or whatever you call it, the EVP Tron, you know, you got to be looking at the guy who's giving you, you got to be looking at the guy who's giving you, who's blasting you. You know what I mean? As opposed to chuckling and laughing and then you hit your line and walk out. That's the only thing that bothered me. His laughing and his attitude. I didn't think it was appropriate for this promo.
I enjoyed Will Ospreay's approach. I enjoyed him sitting, kind of taking the more calm approach, because he's done a lot of the very hyped up, and I like that he's kind of pulling back a little bit more lately. So I really enjoyed this. I thought everything that MJF said was great, George, but I feel like it's as good as it could have been. I'm going to reveal something here. I get why they do it. I'm just not a fan of the video screen talking to the person in the ring. I feel like it never really feels great. I'm sure they're saving the face-to-face for down the road, and that's why they do it, but I feel like there's a ceiling whenever you do that kind of promo.
Well, we're having a match next week, so there's the face-to-face. I can't say anything more than what Jimmy said. There was just something about Ospreay's promo that was off. I don't know. It just felt like it was more like, hey, I'm going to chuckle. I'm going to make a joke about how talented my left, you know, blank nut. Is, you know,
nuts, not a banned word. We can say nut all we want.
Okay.
Lefty M.
The left yeet fly.
I don't know. It's like when you throw in lines like that, it just kind of makes it like, so this is not that much of a serious situation. I don't know. That part just kind of threw me off. But overall, yeah, MJF is going to be what MJF is. And that's just amazing at the mic. I like that he's not always relying on just always yelling at the screen like he always does. It was everything needed to be. I think the true question is it too soon for the match? I think we all thought it was going to be for All In. But I'm going to be
Daniel Garcia. That's already.
Booked. I don't know. I still don't think that's a match big enough for All In. I think that nothing, no respect to Daniel Garcia, but I don't think that's below MJF's level. If unfortunately, I hate saying that. I feel like MJF and Ospreay would be a great match for All In. At the same time, it's the 250th show. It's a big quarter century or quarter millennium mark. It should be a big match. And who's to say that, just like Punk and MJF, that we're not going to see a match now and a match as well at All In. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what, and Jimmy, I want your thoughts. I know you have something to add, but I also want your thoughts on in the chat. It seems pretty split. Some people say it's too soon to do the match, but a lot of people are saying this match ain't happening next week. What do you think?
They don't have to have an actual match next week. You could have an angle to get yourself out of that match that was supposed to happen next week to set up a match later on at All In. It's very simple booking if you can do it that way. But the other thing I wanted to get back to on the promo, especially by MJF, what do great heels do to get tremendous heat?
They make fun of the local sports team.
They don't give you what you want.
And they tell you shades of the truth, but in a real, real, you know, crappy right. way that makes you want to go. And some of the shots he was taking at Will Ospreay, some of the things that a lot of people, a lot of veterans have been saying about him. Yes, he's a great talent, but there, you know, it's some of the stuff, his style in the ring doesn't resonate with those guys. And it's something that an older veteran would say. And here's a guy who's 28 years old saying it, acting like he's the adult in the room, so to speak. So that's another thing that kind of makes people want to see him get his butt whipped. So he's, in that sense, I think he's doing a great job at touching little buttons that sets people off, especially that AEW hardcore audience who believe that Will is the be all and end all.
Right.
He's doing it right.
And you know what's crazy? I tweeted this, but Will Ospreay to me, George, feels like he's only been there for a very short period of time. But when he was talking, it feels like he's an AEW guy already. I don't feel like he's a signee or an import or someone that they were able to bring in. It really felt like this is their guy.
It was really, he's done a really good job at just kind of belonging. I kind of compare it to a guy that he looked up to in AJ Styles when he came in 2016. Mm-hmm. It was only a matter of months before, like, yeah, he's a WWE guy now. And this is no different. It definitely feels like he's part of the crew now, and I think the fact that he's here to stay for the foreseeable future. Just kind of add on what Jimmy was saying, I wouldn't be surprised if MGF is the new international champion after the end of next week. And sets up the rematch for All In.
Last thing about this very quickly, Jimmy, they said they wanted to have a match. About 15 minutes later, Excalibur said, I just got word from Tony Khan that this match is confirmed for next week. Do you like, because we in the past, we've always complained where it happens within like 3 seconds. They're like, oh, I got a phone call. It's time. Do you think that this was done well? I know it's a small thing, but it's something we've talked about before.
You got what you wanted, Jimmy.
Well, kind of, sort of. At least it was 15 minutes later. I wouldn't have minded as, you know, I get it. We're going to talk about the angle that happened as they were going off the air. But later on in the show, just let it marinate. Let it breathe. I know there was a lot of stuff going on tonight that was really good, but let that marinate. I know, and please let someone else other than the announce team make that announcement. That's what I'm hoping for. Someone with an authority. You have a Christopher Daniels.
Yeah. That's
all it takes. Is what, 30 seconds?
I will say again, I like him as an authority figure, the idea of it, but we need to start seeing him as an authority figure, because every time he's done something, he's standing right next to Tony Khan. Right. And it takes a little bit away from that, where it takes time. Like Adam Pearce on Raw, it took a long time, frankly, for me to be like, okay, he's an authority figure, because we all know who's, you know, really in charge and all that right. stuff. And so it takes a while of seeing that to condition us, and we haven't really seen him do much. And that would have been a perfect point for him to even just in the back say, everyone saw the segment earlier tonight, or the whatever they're not going to call it a segment, but you know, we saw what happened earlier tonight, and it is official. Well, that's Pierce's line, but it is official. It's happening next week, and you just do that a couple times until we eventually get that, like, oh, okay, I get it. Christopher Daniels is the guy, he's the one that makes it happen. So it's not now, because now if he came out and did something, I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's that guy. We got a match after this. Boy, did we get a match. Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Adam Page in the Owen Hart Foundation Finals. Really good pay-per-view level match. It breaks down when the ref gets knocked out. Page uses his belt on Danielson, so Jarrett gets involved because he's the enforcer, and he turns out to be a ref himself. We get some continued back and forth. Eventually, Danielson reverses leverage to pin Hangman and get the win. George, I love this match. I love the finish. I love how it protects Hangman in a way. I love that it gives us the main event at All In. I think we all wanted it. Lets us save Swerve and Hangman for another day. It all felt right. I loved everything about this one. Well, there's one thing, but I want to nitpick, but I'll save your comment. I'll save back your comment.
I will say it. I never want to be one of those people that complains because I feel like the finish didn't go the way I wanted it to go. With that said, I did think that this match and this tournament and the main event of All In was tailor-made for someone like a Heyman Page, especially after those amazing promos that we've seen over the weekend with on Twitter, on X, that just kind of made everything just fit right in with everything that he does. There is one thing that I will say that I absolutely loved about this is that when in the beginning, when Jeff Jarrett was at the entrance and he was waiting for Hangman Page to come out the heel entrance, but then mm-hmm. Adam Page came out the babyface entrance, because mm-hmm. in his mind he did nothing. He's the victim here, so why should he come out of the heel? Like, when he came out of that face entrance, I was like, bravo, whoever thought of that, whether it's one people, two people, Tony Khan, Hangman, whoever it is, bra freaking vo. Mm-hmm. Because that was just a tiny touch. Haven't been on Twitter, so I don't even know if people realized it. But that just made it mean so much more, especially to his character. Mm-hmm. And especially what you ended up seeing later that night. But yes, there's nothing more I can say about this match. It was great. I wish there wasn't blood, because it would have made the end end of the show meaning a lot more. But either way, it was great. Like I said, would I rather see Heyman Page against Swerve? But this is still a big victory for what is going to be the main event, which is Danielson and Swerve.
I have a specific question for you, Jimmy, in a little bit here about the enforcer rule. But before we get into all that, I want your thoughts on this match. I'll tell you what the thing that my nitpick, and I love this matchup. My nitpick, though, and this is kind of an AEW thing. I know a lot of people talk about the blood. The blood doesn't bother me. I know everyone's like George, if you bleed earlier, blood doesn't bother me. Don't care. This is something that AEW does a lot that kind of bugs me. I feel like there's the moment the match should end, and they always take it another like 2 or 3 minutes. I felt like once Jarrett became the ref, they should have wrapped it up. That should have been like the 1 yard line of the match, but they always extend it like a little bit longer. We'll talk about that happening early, like later in the night as well. I want your thoughts on the match. I want your thoughts on that comment. And then afterwards I have a referee question for you.
No, I really, really love this match. Bryan Danielson, and he just has a great psychology and great storytelling ability when he's in the ring. And Hangman Page, last week against Jeff Jarrett and this week against Bryan Danielson, he's showing his chops as well. This was a, you want to call it a banger? This was a hell of a banger, that's for sure. These guys brought it on. You know, like you said, little nitpicky things. My little nitpicky things was the fighting on the outside. When they were out there for a little while and Paul Turner came out with them and Bryan Danielson was hitting him with the kicks. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and then, Hangman ducked one kick to get his offense back. And then they went back into what they were doing outside. What I would have liked to have seen, at least from a rule standpoint, because sometimes they do not adhere to traditional rules. Maybe he goes to throw a kick and Paul Turner's like counting on the inside and gets to about 7 or 8 and have Bryan Danielson roll in, roll back out and go throw that kick and let Hangman duck it there. Just a little thing just to keep the continuity. That's me nitpicking the guy that used to wear stripes. That's all. Yeah. But other than that, I thought the match was great. I thought the finish worked out great because of, Bryan Danielson selling and getting Hangman rolled up the way he did, and Hangman still holding on to the hold, hoping that there would be a tap out or whatever, but not giving up and, you know, looking, having that look of frustration on his face after he lost the match. I thought it was all well done.
And I want to say, because Adonde is saying, as far as the blood goes, it takes away from the impact later on. This is my take, and I know we won't spend an hour on it because I feel like this is one of those discussions that we could have every week, but something John Moxley said, and I just lean into it, is if you watch UFC, people bleed in every fight. Bleeding happens in fights. And so that's how I look at it now. Even if I disagreed with it, I would say that's what the show is. So I'm not going to get upset about it because that's what it is. So
remind me about that quote, because then I'll comment on it later.
So that's my takeaway. But in any case, I want to say I'm a huge Adam Page fan. I've said it a bunch. He's one of my favorites over the past 5 years. I thought he was too lovable to be a bad guy, but the way he's carried himself since his return, I don't think his bad guy run before taking a break was working for me personally. This is working. The way he spit at Jarrett's feet, the way he's just beating up people at Jimmy to people who are on the audio version, pointing at his face.
The way he ignored Renee.
Embodying it. The way he ignored Renee. We'll talk about that in a moment. I love this, but I have a specific question for you, Jimmy Corderas. This is a referee rule book question. Clip this out. We're going to the referee rule book.
Okay.
If someone is, this is a hypothetical, if someone is hypothetically, if they are an enforcer for a match, that's their only job there. They are there to enforce the match. Can they also cause a disqualification? So theoretically, in this match, if we started the match, ref is still up. If Jeff Jarrett got up and just hit Adam Page with the guitar, would he get DQ'd? Or because he's an enforcer, is he allowed to be involved?
In that scenario, if the referee was to witness him get involved in the match, then it would constitute a DQ finish. If the referee in this case, like Paul Turner was, gets knocked out or whatever happens to him, you know, and he's not able to continue the match, then the enforcer takes over, because the enforcer's job originally is to make sure that there's no outside interference and everything goes by the book, so to speak. And if you were to get involved while the referee was still actively enforcing rules, then it would be a disqualification.
So the enforcer status does not protect someone from DQing, causing a disqualification.
No, only when the referee's knocked out and he can't see it.
Well, then, I mean, technically, it's still not allowed. But,
yeah, but
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got a question for Jimmy real quick. Is there a rule of thumb, like as far as counting goes? Because when Jeff Jarrett was doing those three counts, I don't know, man, it was like a little bit too slow.
Well, everybody has their own cadence. I know it should be a universal cadence, but some guys are a little slower. Some guys are just a tad quicker. I remember Mike Chioda when he was still a young pup with that mullet of his. We used to tell him all the time, dude, you slow down. You're not giving a guy a chance to get set and kick out. You know, slow down. He was just so jacked up and excited sometimes. He would count slow, but Jeff's a pro. He knows, take your time. And just and make eye contact with the guys too, so they could see you. You have to position yourself in a perfect spot where they could see you, you could see them, and everybody's kind of on the same page.
Yeah. Dylan points out Nick Patrick. Yeah, he always had like the little hand flip when he'd bring his hand up and he'd bring it down. Like you can't really see it in the video because the way it's cut, but like you know what I mean? He'd do like a weird little like his hand, like his wrist would kind of like flail his hand a little bit as he came down every time.
Oh man, I got a referee nitpick. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to disrespect anybody. But there's a referee out there that is really, really good and everybody loves. And I'm like, oh, I can't. He does something specific that I just can never unsee anymore.
Is Wait till we get off the air. Yeah, pretty much. it's not Bronco Lubitsch. He's a legend.
Let's move. So after Bryan Danielson won the match, Swerve's music hits and Swerve comes out and he says that he's the best in the world. And he proved it, at Forbidden Door. Now he's looking forward to win against Bryan Danielson at All In. Then he says he's joining Team AEW for Blood and Guts. So he'll do two things Danielson couldn't do: beat Will Ospreay and beat the Elite. Jimmy, this was last week I said I felt like they gave us, maybe it wasn't last week, but when they announced the teams for the Elite, I felt like they gave us a lot of stuff too quickly. I still feel that way, and I feel like this was a lot of information too quickly. However, I feel like Swerve did a pretty good job of tying a lot of loose ends up to bring us to where we needed to be tonight.
No, he did pretty much like you said. He tied up some loose ends, but at the same time, there was a kind of a weird promo, because at parts of the promo, he sounded like a babyface. And then at other times, his tone and inflection kind of came off very heelish. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, where does Swerve go? When he's talking about the match with Daniel Bryan, he sounded kind of heelish. But then, you know, he kind of flipped the switch when he was talking about being Team AEW to face the EVPs and the Elite. So other than that, you know, the man can talk. There's no doubt about it. I just wish, again, I want to see more from Swerve. I want to see, you know, him being presented like the champion, as opposed to feeling like, okay, we're going to bring him out after the match.
Yeah.
You know, why not? You know, you're the champion. Come out during the match and sit ringside and watch and do your thing and have Prince Nana do his little, you know, whatever.
You know, I think it's good to have him in front of crowds, but also Swerve's one of those guys. I think you have a gold mine of stuff you could do of him living his life, because he does do so much stuff like the podcast and music and fashion stuff. So you could have him, you know, with the championship doing some of the cool stuff he's doing, even if it's made up stuff, you know, and it would fit for him. If you had him shopping for a new car, you know, like for Ferraris or whatever, you'd be like, this looks cool. Him doing that with the cool jackets on or whatever it is he's doing. He's one of those guys that would work really, really well, I think. George, your thoughts on this, your thoughts on everything that was said. And also, I want to know, was it okay with you how they did this? I get why they did it again, trying to stop the face-to-face, but a little weird how Bryan Danielson was in the ring when he came out, but then Bryan Danielson was gone when they started.
It was a little all over the place, both the promo and the segment. It's like, dude, this is your challenger. This is the guy that you're facing in the biggest show of the year and in front of the biggest crowd of the year. And it's like, oh, like, wait, is he not ringside? Is he not going to stick around? My only nitpick about the whole Bryan Danielson thing, like, if he needs to get checked up by doctors after every single match, it's like, yeah, in the land of kayfabe, like, he probably shouldn't be wrestling in the ring. I like to just kind of see him win one of these times, or I guess lose in some ways, but like when him not to be fighting for dear life, just kind of give me a clean victory every now and then. But yeah, it's just weird. Like, wait, is he not just listening? It was okay. I don't think it was Swerve's best. I think he's had much, much better in the past, and it can only go up from now, because he's got the blood and guts coming up, and he's got the All In. How they're going to incorporate that together, it sounds like blood and guts is priority number one for now. But I'd like to see a little bit more stakes involved. Like, what does the Elite win do they get if they win this match? What does AEW get if they win this match? I already mentioned it. We talked about it before a couple weeks ago when they kind of just said, like, oh, and by the way, in a couple weeks it's blood and guts. You know, just kind of made it feel like nothing. So I kind of want them to raise the stakes a little bit in these next couple weeks.
I agree with that. And I think that, like I said, I don't think this is the best promo I've ever seen, but I also think Swerve was giving a lot he had to sell. Which is unfortunate. And that's one of the things that's why I say tied up a lot of loose ends. I mean, he basically had to sell blood and guts All In and an Okada match all in one go. So I think for how much he had to say, he did pretty good at it, but I agree with you guys. I'd like to see more of him, and I'd like to see him more in focus. Like, this is my opponent. That said, later on in the night, Adam Page did say he'll join Blood and Guts on the Elite side. And it seems like there's some issues between Page and Okada. But I think what I like about this, Jimmy, we talked about different layers. We talked about the Onion and all that in other companies. We are getting a little bit of that here with the stuff with Adam Page, and Swerve is still strong. Bryan Danielson's next. But there's some other things lurking. We're starting to build that a bit in AEW, which I think is new for them, to be quite honest.
No, it is new, and we wanted that for a long time. I've been calling for it, at least, you know, from here. I've been screaming from the mountaintops, let's do some stories, because stories is what sells tickets. Yes, you can have all the greatest wrestlers on the planet having random matches, but if you don't have stories attached to those matches, then they're, in my opinion, meaningless, other than, hey, great, Let's is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all you're getting. But now we're starting, like you said, to get layers, get stories, not just for the top stories, not just for the top of the card. We're getting mid-level stories. We're getting lower stories. I just want them to take their time with it. Again, they're a little bit rushy with them. Take your time. Let these marinate. Let the stories build over time, because you don't have pay-per-views or PLEs like the WWE every single month. Or do they now? It almost feels like they're heading in that direction, but it's still not quite there. So take your time in between PLE or pay-per-views, in your case, to tell these stories and build to those matches that you want to have on the pay-per-views. And stop trying to think that you got to have these pay-per-view quality matches on television every week. It's okay to put them on TV, but they don't have to be every week.
Yeah, and this is the timing is kind of weird. Sometimes it's every month, but this time they have a pretty good chunk of time between this mm-hmm. one and All In. It starts on August 25th. So they mm-hmm. actually have some time to really build up some stories here. It'll be interesting to see how they run with that time period. Quick little segment here, George. You are a music connoisseur. So tell me, how did you rate the Acclaim's music video?
I actually really, really liked it. Okay. Let me take that back. I thought the song was good. I thought the music video needed a lot more pizzazz. Like, it's something that it looked very cable access-y, but I thought the message itself was fine. So I guess maybe they didn't want it to be too high production, because maybe the message would have not gotten across. Because I thought a lot of the little images that they showed of like early Bucks and even early Acclaim, to even show like an old school Billy Gunn smoking guns picture, I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I thought the message was cool. But if you're talking about the music video, it was a lot left to be desired.
You sound just like every producer in the world. Like, you know, give some pizzazz, some oomph. Like, not even, you're not being specific. You're, you know, give it a little zhuzh, zhuzh, you know?
Yeah. Just imagine like, if it did. Dude, I'm all about making things bigger than what it is. I'm going to make a phone call. I know a couple of people that work there. I'm going to make a phone call. Okay. If they ever do this again, give me a call, you know?
Right.
Jimmy, what are your thoughts on these kind of, you know, first off, did you like it? And what, just in general, like the music video kind of format, do you like these for promos?
Well, in their case, I do. It's kind of catchy, you know, and they get to do what they do best in those music videos, or at least like George said, with the music and the rapping mm-hmm. involved. But I get George's point. I wouldn't mind seeing a little more pizzazz, or either that or go the other way and make it just like a bunch of guys in the room shooting with their cell phone.
It's one of those where either make it good or make it very gritty, where it's very like black and white, shot in an alleyway. It just looked too much like choose a side, because it wasn't good enough to be high value, but it wasn't gritty enough for it to be considered that either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dylan Matthews says, you're an award-winning DJ and Pocket Square enthusiast.
Pocket Square enthusiast.
Give your take on the music video. I thought this was fantastic. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was catchy. It was silly. I was able to follow along with it, and I had a good time watching it.
Are you going to play the song next in your next DJ event?
It's my ringtone, baby.
Oh, my God. Oh, I want to know. Seriously, what is your ringtone? I have to know people's. I love this.
Honestly,
sorry to get off topic. You know.
It's the default. I always have mine on my vibrate. I never turn. Because the only time
my ringtone is always off.
My ringtone is also the same as my alarm, so it just I hate it. It gives me like PTSD. So I'm like, I gotta get up. Yeah. It gives me that feeling. What's your ringtone, Jimmy?
Mine? You're not gonna believe it. Rubber Band Man by the Spinners.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it honestly was gonna be "I Want to Stay." I said clearly.
Bruzzy saying, "Oh my God, that is one of my favorite refs all time," and I believe they're referring to you, Jimmy.
Azonde
says, "Not Jack, you won't ever do another wedding again."
But by the way, Jack, I did pay an homage to you this past weekend at the Money in the Bank weekend. The blazer I was wearing—I don't know if you noticed. Did you notice?
Did you have a pocket square?
Yes, I did.
Hey, well, that's the pocket square fancies up any nice formal wear.
Yep.
Dylan says Flobo's ringtone is ska. For people who don't know, Flobo is a huge ska connoisseur, so loves it. Yeah. And Sonny says ringtone is Midnight Express theme.
One of the best.
Dro, by the way, says Nigel's so entertaining to listen to on commentary. Nigel is a treasure on commentary. Did you hear it when it showed bloody Brian Danielson? He was like, look at that ugly mug. Someone had a child with that. Jeez, man. He just always comes after Brian Danielson. I love it. We had a moment here that was really cool. It was the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho versus Samoa Joe. This one really boils down to when the two get to the back of the arena and the Learning Tree triple teams Joe, puts him on a forklift and runs him through a wall. George, I want you to respond to Bobby Jones, who says, I can't believe this, but Jack was right. Learning tree is growing on me. And burner account, who says DX, NWO, and now the learning tree.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. That's all I got to say about that. No, honestly, I thought it was fine because we saw a little less of Jericho on the mic and a little more of what he's best at, and that's being in the ring. And since he's a heel, I'm really digging when he at least attempts to get some heel heat by being a heel and not being annoying. I mean, if anything, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. His gimmick, it reminded me of like Eugene. Like Eugene would always come out, he'd wave to the crowd and say like, hey, you know, by the way, guys, blah, blah, blah. And it's like that's what Chris Jericho's gimmick is. And I don't know, but more fun. This was fun. I like the backstage antics. I like the finish of the match. It was very creative. And like I said, I'll give kudos to the match itself. But I'm still not digging the learning tree character.
The learning tree. I pop every time I say it to myself. That would be a good ringtone.
Was it on Friday? Was it on Friday, right? Where I was like, I started the show with like, hi guys. Sorry, wrong show.
So Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this match. I want your thoughts on how they ended it. I have a special question for you, but also that's after all this. Mm-hmm. Jericho at the end of this seemed less goofy and kind of, it was giving me Joker vibes a little bit here. I don't know if you saw that too. Seemed a little creepy in his bye guys.
Yeah. There was a little more sinister tone to it. That's for sure. And as far as the finish goes, I did like the finish. The thing I liked even more was they went to commercial. Mm-hmm. They went to break in chaos, not knowing what was going on. And when they came back from break, they continued having Joe on the board, putting him in the ambulance and that sort of thing. Leave people hanging, make them want to come back and see what's going on. That's what they did. And I've been screaming that from the mountaintops as well. And they finally did it, as opposed to, oh my God, they went through the wall. Is Joe okay? Oh, by the way, next match.
Anyways, it's time for the acclaimed.
Yeah, there we go.
No, you're right. And also little things like Colt Cabana being there for some reason had this like, oh, Colt Cabana's there. This is serious. You know, those little things, I think, are so great. And I think the fact that this is now turning into something that could be kind of scary, I think, is really good, really patient in the way they've done this. But Jimmy, my question for you here is, now, obviously, don't work at AEW. We have no idea how they set this up. But you've been a part of some pretty crazy experiences and stunts in your time. Again, you weren't there, so you don't know exactly how this was set up. But like, what goes into a setup like this? Like, because as a viewer, it looks like they just say, hey, let's see if you run him through this wall and see what happens. Like, are there, like, in your experience, what you've seen in the past, are there like professionals there? Do they run through, like, do they test it a few times? What goes into a stunt like this? Because that could have ended terribly.
Well, we do have back in the day what we called the props department or the magic department, they were nicknamed, because when they wanted to come up with an idea, something similar to this, where, hey, we want something big, crash bang, how do we do this? How can we do this in a way where the talent is it keep them as safe as possible? And especially if they're using an object like a forklift. Obviously, you know, Chris has to know how to drive that darn thing and how to make the forks go up and down. Like, if you put me behind the wheel of one of those, I'm lost. Like, yeah. How many people know how to actually drive one of those properly? So, obviously, he had to have a little bit of experience with it. And if he didn't, he had to get on the job training that day and probably figure it out. But as soon as somebody comes up with an idea, then they go, okay, how do we do this? We need to build a wall. We need to build, glass, something or other. But there is a department that handles that, at least in the WWE. I'm sure they still have that department. I didn't run into him this past weekend, but it is thought out pretty pretty well in advance. So I'm sure this was an idea that wasn't last minute, that's for
like,
sure.
Like, did you guys have like a safety meeting before every one of those big stunts? The one that stood out to me, I'm not sure if you were there, I mean you might have, was when the Hawk, I can't remember when Roto or Hawk fell off the top of the Titantron.
Oh, now that you brought it up, I remember the incident, but I don't know if there's a safety meeting for that one because, you know, that wasn't me. I wasn't the referees that are involved in that are usually the ones that are in the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just incredible to me because that could have been very dangerous, but I loved it. It looked great. Oh,
now that, yes. Break the walls down. Exactly. Yeah. Bobby Jones.
You talk about on the job training. Imagine you're Samoa Joe. Like, yeah. So you're gonna be on there and you're gonna run through there. It'll be fine. Okay, cool. Anyways, Jericho, we got to train you how to do this.
Chris, you sure you got this? And you know, Chris, yes, I got it. No problem.
Oh my goodness. But very, very fun moment. I loved it. We got a Global Glory four-way for the International Championship. Jimmy, kind of just a wild matchup that is kind of signature of middle of the show AEW. Fun, exciting, lots of stuff happening. Pat gets the win. He's getting a shot at the international title. Cuts a promo afterwards saying he will not win or not miss All In this year. Any takeaways on this one?
No, it was exactly what it was meant to be. A fun four-way match. It was right in the wheelhouse of what AEW does pretty much every week. And, you know, it was fun. The crowd was into it. They loved it. So how can you knock it? You know what I mean? It served its purpose. And Pac getting his opportunity at All In at whoever the international champion is going to be, whether it is MJF, whether it is Will Ospreay, that's the interesting thing. And he addressed it in the promo, which is the right thing to do too.
Yeah. And George, this again was a fun one. I want your thoughts on the matchup, but something that was kind of odd to me with this, and this is probably for another day, but we've got the international championship. MJF seems to be getting a shot next week. Garcia has one lined up. Pac has one lined up. Why is no one getting a shot at the Continental Championship? Like, I know we have the conversation, there's too many titles, but it feels like we have so many people in line for the world title, so many people in line for the international championship. What's going on with the Continental Championship? Why is that not on the line?
I wish I had an answer for you. I want to say maybe that title has been defended once or twice since Okada won it. I still don't get the rules. So every year there's going to be a Continental Classic tournament and the title is going to be on the line, right? Like whoever wins that tournament is the new Continental champion, or maybe Okada retains it the whole time.
Well, no, because he won it from
Kingston.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's still a championship that gets defended throughout the year.
So yeah, I guess I don't get it. I don't get it.
Like, me and you both, Jack.
I know that's, again, I don't want to go too far down that road because there's so many is like the blood argument. That's an argument we could have every single week. But yeah, just like we're stacking this division with challengers, but we have.
I was going to say, I thought they should have unified the world and the international title. And I thought that's what Swerve was going to start alluding to as well in that promo that he was doing. He was talking about Okada and Ospreay and whatnot. As far as the match goes, the match is great. I mean, there's really nothing to say about this match other than it's great. My only thing about this is people have been saying for years, and I'm glad that Adon Diastas made that comment about fun for a way. Yeah, Kyle is someone to look out for. They've been saying that for 2-3 years.
Right.
Like, how long is Kyle going to be someone to look out for? If you guys really want to make an effort in putting him over in some ways, give him a victory over a big match. Because every single time he's in one of these big matches, he loses. So why put him in some of these matches that he's always going to lose? Two, give him a W. Like, it's always like, oh man, that Kyle Fletcher. Yeah, he. What a great match. What a great talent he's had. I've been hearing the same thing for 2-3 years. Just do something with him.
In his defense, he's 25. That's. I mean,
what does have anything to do with it?
I mean, he's got plenty of time. Like, Daniel Bryan was younger than that when he finally made it big in WWE. He's going to be okay.
MJF was like, so, you know, look at Austin Theory. Austin Theory is like 25, 26, you know? Like, he at least got a victory at WrestleMania over John Cena. Like, what's the biggest victory that
I mean, Austin Theory is 26. That's way different.
I mean, so like, yeah, but like, then I don't know. I'm ranting. I know I'm ranting, but it just one of those things where I'm just tired of hearing how good he is, how great he's going to be. It's been years already. So do something with him.
I think he'll get there. I think right now he needs to get out of the shadow of Will Ospreay
and the Callis family.
Definitely.
So and
one little thing I would like to see from him too is a different look. He looks too generic, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean? Give him a different look. Change things up a little bit. I'm not saying he has to go off the wall crazy, you know, painting his face and all that sort of stuff. Just give us something different.
I hate to sound like the WWE guy, but I think I would like to see him get more of a character. Because right now he's a great wrestler, but this is where I think NXT is great at saying, like, we need to give you a character to make you somebody that I latch on to as opposed to just the wrestler.
Sorry, Jack. Not just give him a character, bring himself out and turn that up to 12. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, just be you, but turn it up, turn that up. And let people get invested in you.
To me, there's no difference between a guy like Kyle Fletcher and Lee Moriarty and a few others, because they all are great in the ring, but show me something that's going to stand out from the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where characters are so important. That's the character is a huge, huge aspect.
Even look at Daniel Garcia. Like, he was in that boat of the Lee Moriarty and the Kyle Fletcher, and people really started to care more about him. I'm not going to do the dance because I can't do it. Plus I'm sitting down, but until he started doing the dance, there you go. And I'll stick to, you know, I'll do that one later.
That stuff works.
But yeah, like I said, people cared, but people care even more now that you're doing something that's making yourself different than everyone else.
Mm-hmm. I would say every major star is a character. There's no one who is just like, I'm a wrestler who wants to do really well. I would say Roman Reigns was a mob boss who gaslit people. If you look at that, that was his character. Cody Rhodes is Captain America. Like that, they're all characters, and that's using the other side, you know, the other guys. But those are the biggest characters. You know, you look at Swerve. He's Rick Ross as a wrestler. If you know who Rick Ross is, that's like they're characters. That's why we like them. Will Ospreay is a bruv. You know, whatever that is. Let's talk about a character who I think a lot of people are interested in. Mercedes Moné. We talk about Monet. I said, I used to say it Monet for long, and I learned I had it wrong. George, before you do it, Danny Cochran had a chat, says, I came to see George dance.
There you go.
George Hermosa.
And you know what they say, you leave them wanting more.
No, CEO, CEO, CEO. All right. So I did the Daniel Garcia dance. George did the CEO dance. That means, Jimmy, you got to do the swerve.
You got to do the swerve dance.
Oh, yeah. No. I can't.
Swerve, whatever, grab now, swerve. What? Come on. No. Just give me this.
Okay. I'll give you the prince.
Now. Okay. We'll do all our dances together. This is so worth it. Let's
do... just be happy we're not making you guys do the Alex Wright dance.
That would take my coordination. No. That guy, he had moves. Mercedes Monet, Britt Baker, the CEO in Canada, says she is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, George. Then she takes a shot at Britt Baker. DMD chases her off. Nothing fancy here, but I thought this did a great job of doing what it needed to do. It reminded us of this rivalry, kept things heated, and come on, you rip off Bret Hart in Canada. That's a win.
Oh, come on. I'm a little upset you said just Canada. In Calgary. Oh, Alberta,
Canada.
Canada. Yes. Come on. Same. That was the same building as the Canadian Stampede, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the Saddle Dome. I thought Mercedes was fantastic here. Now that she's not trying to be a babyface. And who knows, maybe that was a plan the whole time. I'm not going to get into whether that was a plan or not. But either way, she's totally nailing it out the park. She knows she knows her character now, and I think she's kind of getting how to make the Monet, I guess you can say. And I would love to kind of embrace her to maybe the star maker a little bit, right? Where it's like, you know, after facing her, you know, that's why maybe somebody like Britt Baker is coming after her, because she knows that she's not at the level that she needs to be. But what happens then? He turned at the right moment. Then, you know, because win, lose, or draw, Britt Baker knows that she's going to be a bigger star after she's in the ring with Monet. And I like to see her more embracing that aspect of it, because it's actually 100% true. Everybody that has faced Monet, for the most part, on a big stage, has become a bigger star than what they are.
I got to say real quick, Jimmy, Ryan Fernandez, the boss man, tuning in. Mm-hmm. probably going, let me see what analytics they're discussing on the show. As we're all just always good to see you, Ryan. Thanks for rolling through the chat. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this segment, but also I want to talk, and I alluded to this earlier, Mercedes Moné mm-hmm. deserves a lot of credit, I think, for helping to build women's wrestling within AEW at the very least, because this feels like a big ticket matchup. And Britt Baker's absolutely a part of that, but it wouldn't feel this way if it was Britt Baker versus a lot of other people. But the fact that it's Britt Baker versus Mercedes Moné, it feels like a big deal. And then you see the stuff that's kind of going on around her and with her and all the other stuff. I feel like Mercedes, regardless how you feel about her, you got to give her a lot of credit for really adding a lot of depth and weight to this division.
No, I do give her a lot of credit for that. My only problem is the way she is presenting herself. It's not the way the company is. She's from day one, she looks like a megastar, and she is a megastar, and people have bought into her being a megastar. It's just, there's something about her and the way she presents her promos, the way she talks, it just doesn't resonate with me. There's something about it that just makes me go, you know,
even then, now that she's more of a heel now?
Yeah. It just feels so, I hate to say it, I don't want to use the F word, but it feels so phony. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I love it.
And Britt coming out, there's another star. So you got two actual stars there that could really elevate that division. And you're right. Mercedes has elevated a lot of other women on the roster. But for me, like I said, it's more the way she's been presented as a megastar, and people have bought into that as opposed to buying into her.
Oh, I respectfully and disrespectfully disagree.
give him the heat, George.
No, I'm just saying. I think if she was being portrayed as a babyface and she's kind of coming out there and try to pretend like, oh, you know, I'm the victim, or I'm the this and that, but like she's being everything that we want her to be, and that's a heel. Like I look back at that Steve Austin interview that she did. I gotta think that she was in full character, because she's just coming across as like, oh, I eat steak, I eat this, I'm one of the boss. Oh, this is like, oh, like this is supposed to be like an honest conversation. Like you're coming off as such like a heel. But this is what she's that maybe this is her. Maybe this is the real her, just tuned up a little bit. I just think this is the best Monet that we've seen since arriving to AEW, and even maybe in the latter days when she was kind of babyface in WWE. I honestly think that this is her best portrayal, and I think she's knocking it out of the park.
Well, that's the beauty of this thing. We could respectfully and disrespectfully disagree.
But just real quick, last week's segment I thought was absolutely phenomenal.
Better.
So, and better, yes, you're right. But also, like, it left me wanting more after this week, because we didn't see any kind of physicality between them. We didn't see any kind of back and forth. That doesn't mean we have to see it every single week. It just left me wanting more, especially after the great segment that we saw last week.
Mm-hmm. What I liked about this, the biggest part, is that I like that, because in the past, some of the critiques have been, you set up something and then they forget about it, and then we don't see it from them, and then suddenly like, oh, remember 4 months ago when they talked to each other? Like, where this was actually, okay, they're reminding us, they're keeping it going. Okay, this is, they're continuing the build. So I enjoy that. I do want to mention a quick comment here from Sonny, who asks, where's Jamie Hayter? She was over. I believe Jamie's injured, and I believe that's why she's out. I don't know what the injury is, but I believe that's why she was taken off TV.
When she comes back, though, that's going to be another nice little injection in the women's division.
Yep.
Yeah, she's awesome. Then we got, by the way, Bobby Jones says, give him heat. Good catchy line for George. Jack should make that a thing like a manager. Wait, George, because you're when you wrestle, I'll be your manager. And I'm like, give him the heat, George.
You are way too good looking to be a manager.
Well, I'm certainly not taking any bumps. That's not happening.
Then you can't be a manager. Plain and simple.
That's why I don't try to be. So quickly, Darby Allin shows up and says, everybody makes sacrifices, right, Jack Perry? Just like Brandon Cutler, who it looked like he had a rough night. Jimmy, this is a fun. I thought this was a fun quick return note for Darby Allin. Looks like he's going to pick up where he left off with Jack Perry.
Yeah, it looks that way. And looks like he'll probably be part of Team AEW. So
yeah.
Simple, easy, to the point, easy to digest. And that's sometimes one of their other flaws where they try to make it so so elaborate that people just go, okay, enough already. This was quick and it makes you, like you said, wanting more.
Yep. George, any takeaways on Darby Allin's return? It was a quick segment, so I don't know how much there is, but I mean,
as long as he's back, I feel like he's very easily forgotten. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just feel like there's so much going on since the last time he's been on TV that I was like, oh yeah, I feel like, yeah, I haven't seen him in about a month or so. So I'm more curious if he's back for good. And if he's healthy, because I know he keeps getting hurt. Just take care of yourself, man.
Yep. We get to the end of the show and
he's just got to stop doing it. I know they were in Calgary, but he has to stop that, running with the buses.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Bad Corderas jokes. I know.
No. Yeah. He last time it didn't work out too well for him when he tried to run with them, but
he's
unstoppable. I feel like you could run him over with a steamroller and he'd just get up and have a match. But speaking of matches, we had a main event, and it was a good one. Willow Nightingale versus Mariah May, Owen Hart Foundation Tournament Final. It's a great match until Stokely Hathaway and Chris Statlander get involved. It doesn't lead to the end, however. The two keep fighting, and eventually Mariah May gets the win and will face Toni Storm at All In. Afterwards, the two skip to the trophy, and Mariah May attacks Toni Storm and just brutalizes her, leaving her a bloody mess, sends Luther out off the edge of the staging area, Jimmy, and they end on that. Tell me this was not the perfect way to end the show.
I thought it was a great way to end the show and get some real, real heat, but the only, if I can nitpick, it was a great match. They did a great job. A little thing in the match where the interference happened, that should have been, in my opinion, the finish, leading to the finish instead of drawing it out. I know they tried to pull a little bit of a fast one on everybody and say, no, it's not quite it. But Willow ended up losing anyway. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you wasted that moment, in my opinion. And the other thing is, last week, how did they end the show? MJF turning on Garcia, going to town, getting some color, leaving him laying. And what did we have this week? Your best friend laying you out, getting some color, leaving you laying. That's the only thing. It happened 2 weeks in a row, the same formula going off the air. Not that it didn't work. It did work. It got me interested in what's going to happen next. But at the same time, it's like we saw the same ending last week, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest. I forgot about that. So I didn't think about it. But you're right. That is two of the same in a row. And I will say, though, that's what I alluded to earlier. Again, this was another one of those times where it feels like the end was right there and you drug it out a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone leaves feeling like it was better, because it felt like that was how it should have ended. Like that was the moment. It felt a little bit like, this is now an older reference, but it reminded me of the third Lord of the Rings movie, where it feels like that movie ends and then they just drag it on for another like 30 minutes. But you had something else you wanted to add, Jimmy?
No, like you said, it kind of loses its moment. It gets people out of the picture because the heel cheated to win and then they didn't cheat to win. If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, anyways. Yeah, George, what were your thoughts on this one?
I kind of thought the same, but mine is a little bit different just because I there's a lot of cool and big moves that they kicked out of, but then she loses to a roll-up. That's like the old, like, oh, you know, pile driver, but then lose to a small package. I would have liked to see like a more definitive finish, not roll-up after, like, you can kick out of those moves, but you can't get to that move. Other than that, I mean, I thought it was fine. I thought it was great. Yeah, the finish. But like Jack said, I completely forgot about last week's ending, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but that just shows how effective this week was. I thought it was phenomenal, and I'm going to be positive here, mm-hmm. but I feel like if Mariah comes out like next week or however she comes out, and she's still kind of that like Barbie kind of character, I think it's going to completely kill everything, because last what I saw tonight, mm-hmm. I saw just magic. I was like, man, this girl, she is not just some blonde girl. She's a killer. She's a vicious. I love that Excalibur was like, oh, maybe that was the plan the whole time. You know, who's to say that, you know, but who's to say that this was just spontaneous? Maybe this was the plan the entire time. So I'm really excited to see what's going to happen on, and I say next week because I don't want to see it on, I don't want to see a follow up on Collision. I don't want to see a follow up on Rampage. I want them to keep people waiting, even more than a week. On why she did this to Tony Storm, and it only ramps up their match at All In even more.
I agree. I think that if it's me, I think we have to start believing Dynamite is the A show, Collision is the B show, Rampage is the C show. I think that's okay in this world. You know, we look back at like the Monday Night Wars we always talk about. WWE and WCW had a B-C show. It was totally fine back in the day.
And I say that just because we saw MJF explain his actions on Collision of this past week. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was fine and all, but I just would rather see Mariah or rather see something get followed up with a little more. Give us you know, the anticipation.
Yeah. And by the way, MJ's follow-up on Collision was really good.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was great, but unfortunately, you don't get as much eyes on that. Put that on your A show. Yeah, got to.
I do like they showed clips of it that so we could see it. Like that was very smart. Instead of just going, mm-hmm. you know, instead of commentators going, "Hey, remember on Collision, MJF had some words to say." Anyhow, right. Let's move on.
Yeah, great, fantastic visuals to end the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But fantastic. And I do also love that Willow was rocking the tribute gear to Owen Hart as well.
Yes,
they both were.
With the danger and the black and gold. Yes.
Yes. Perfect. And people in the chat are saying the roll up was an homage to Owen versus Brett. Which is cool. For me, I'm not worried about the roll up necessarily. It was more the interference stuff than the roll up. I think if they went interference, even if it was just like, one quick, like, gotcha, no, you didn't pin. Yeah, but it should have happened pretty quickly where the end didn't feel like the interference actually had anything to do with it.
You could have had the interference right into the roll up and it would have worked perfect.
That's how I would have liked to have seen it.
Yeah.
Because then that also makes Chris Statlander a bigger villain too, because mm-hmm. she officially cost her the match instead of like, oh, you tried, it didn't work, but eventually I lost anyways.
Right.
But I think it's fine either way. I think we always say it. We want to end with those visuals. These are the kind of visuals I like to mm-hmm. see. I thought, man, AEW has been chugging along. It's been doing great stuff. We're going to go around. Everyone in the chat, let us know your final thoughts as well. Thanks for being here, by the way. Rodney, Bobby, Huffman, Blue Chew, Dylan, Adonde, Carlos, Jose, Secular. Jimmy, final thoughts on the show. Where can the world find you online?
I enjoyed the show tonight. I thought it was another step in the right direction. In the last couple of weeks, they've been hitting the right notes. And yeah, do they need some screw tightening? Sure, they absolutely do. But at the same time, they are heading in the right direction and they're trucking along, like you said. And as far as where you can find me here on Wednesday nights and Monday nights after Raw. And you can catch the Refin It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and I, and RJ, who holds the glue together. Love you, RJ. And this week's guest, none other than the coach, Jonathan Coachman, my old buddy. Man, we had a blast. You got to check it out. It was so much fun. And, you know, I do my ref and rants every day from Monday to Wednesday, Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, just little critiques here and there, and or put something over if I, you know, like to tighten the screws a little bit that I think need tightening. That's all.
You know, Jimmy, you got to start sending links out to this show more, because I see people on X all the time saying you're a shill. But here, we just spent the last hour and a half saying a lot of great things about AEW lately. So I think maybe people need to see what you're actually saying and get an idea of the whole picture.
Well, that's because I haven't received my check yet. So, you know, until then.
I love it. George, how about yourself? Where can we find you online, and final thoughts on the
Let me just ask you guys something really quick. Would it have been too much? And I understand if it, maybe the answer is yes, as if maybe they were coming back to the top of the ramp where the trophy and the belt was at. And then maybe Martha Hart is maybe handing her the trophy, and then maybe she takes it away from Martha Hart and then maybe hammers Toni Storm with it. Like, would that have been too much? Because I was like, why is it Martha Hart there the way that she was there for the men's one?
Right.
I think they just didn't want her there, because what's she supposed to do? Just stand there like as this
Shake
is happening
her fist really hard.
So I think if Martha Hart was a performer and could be more involved, I think that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. But since she's not, I think it's probably better.
Yeah, I
think it's probably better that they just didn't have her out there. Jimmy, do you agree?
Because of the way it ended, probably it was best not to have her out there. But I get where George is coming from. Yeah, it would have been more heat. You know what? If she was up for it, have her come out to present it, and maybe even take a step towards her with a belt where she backs. You don't have to get her involved physically. Mm-hmm. Just she backs off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, like that doesn't take anything away. It's just that it was just phenomenal. Anyways, but yeah, you can follow me at GHERMOZA. I just thought of something, because you mentioned you had the coach on, or you have the coach on your Refinet podcast. Me and Jack had the coach on the Wrestling Chatter. Not only did we have the coach, we had this guy, Eugene, but we also had this guy, Sabu. So you can find interviews with every single one of these guys, Coach Eugene and Sabu, the king of the one-namers, on the Wrestling Chatter, on the YouTube channel, the Wrestling Chatter, TW Chatter, is all the social medias.
Nice.
The coach is an absolute delight. So check out both conversations, because he's just I don't know him like on a personal level, but I've had the chance to talk to him through podcasts and whatnot. And just a really, really cool guy who's always like helpful and great. So can't support that guy enough. Again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. You saw the boss man, Ryan, roll through. I don't want to get yelled at from him. He doesn't yell at me. He's actually a sweetheart. I'd love to give him some good numbers. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm going to be on Wrestling Inc.'s SmackDown post show this week. So make sure to check me out there. That'll be a fun one. That does it for us. Until then, make sure you have your wrestling statues and your mystery keys. We'll see you next time.
Adventure awaits at every turn in Cedar City, Utah. Hike through breathtaking Red Rock Canyons, bike along scenic trails, and enjoy a meal at one of our favorite restaurants. While you're in town, catch a show at the Utah Shakespeare Festival, a Tony Award-winning theater experience with shows going all summer. Bring the whole family for unforgettable moments, from thrilling outdoor adventures and stunning national parks to charming downtown festivals and events. There's so much to discover in Cedar City, Utah. Check out visitcedarcity.com to learn more.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.